now we get to finally change the sign out front. Finishing up our sermon series on how to live an extraordinary life. And this is one of my favorite sermons because it speaks also to me. And it's about living out our legacy. It's about taking what God has given us and allowing us to invest our lives in the lives of others, in the lives of our children and our grandchildren, and maybe some of you have great-grandchildren, I don't know, but it's investing your life right here and now so that those who know you will be able to carry on the legacy that you have made in your life. When your time here on earth is over, here's a question for you. How do you want to be remembered? What do you want people to say about you? What kind of difference will it have made that you are here, that you lived? What will you leave behind that has any value, any lasting value? I remember 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, when my father passed away suddenly. Jen and I we hadn't even reached our first wedding anniversary yet. Our first 2 years of marriage had some highs, a high and a lows, and the high, of course, with the birth of Nicholas. But within 2 years, my father had passed away, and Jennifer's uncle, Uncle Don, passed away. And Uncle Don was the one who married us. And if you really want to hear an interesting story about our wedding, there were 5 pastors on that platform. It's amazing we got done as quickly as we did. I was one. My best man was one. Jen's and I's brother-in-law, David, was a pastor at the time, and of course, the pastor who brought us together, and Uncle Don. When my father passed away, and Jennifer and I flew back to Oregon, we were living in Indiana at the time, and we flew back to Oregon to spend time with my mom and for the memorial service. And when we got to the memorial service, there was probably 250 people there. And the pastor talked about the fact that my dad, there were some things that my dad had been doing that my mother didn't even know. And they were good things. They weren't bad things. They were good things. My father had some close friends in the church, and my father would go down. He loved to cook, and he was a cook in the Army, and he loved to cook and do things. And the church had a Wednesday night dinner like you guys used to have, and my dad would go down and he would help out, fix the meal, and he would do whatever was asked of him. But we found out at his memorial service that my dad had been going down to the church and doing little odds and ends. No one ever knew about it. No one ever saw him do it. The pastor just found out about it just before he died. Because everyone was wondering who was painting the railings out front of the church because they looked so beautiful. And then we found out it was my dad. But he didn't do it, you know, to draw attention to himself. He would go down and help out and do whatever needed to be done. And my mom, all this time, my mom thought he was out with his buddies having donuts and coffee. And that was my dad. And there was 250 people at his memorial service who were saying all these things that my dad was doing for them. He would collect quarters. And you know, when they used to have the quarters that all the different states, and he would collect these quarters, he'd go down to the bank and he'd ask for he'd buy a couple rolls of quarters. And then on Sunday morning, he would come to church and he would give quarters to the kids, so they could complete their 50 states or whatever it was that they were doing. And after my dad died, we found $11 in quarters. And one day we took my mom over to the coast, and I don't know if we were driving back or going over, but we decided to stop at the casino. And we went into the casino and we took that bag of quarters, and we really didn't know how many we had. So we're sitting there counting out the quarters in the casino, found out we had $11. So we divided it up between myself, my wife, and my mom. And we split up and we just went around the casino playing the quarter slots. And we thought, boy, my dad would love that. Maybe he wouldn't. He wasn't a gambler. But we found out so many things about my father. And so it was really interesting when I was getting ready for this message and I was thinking about my legacy and what I want my son to know about me. And so maybe that's some questions that you have for yourself today. What are you going to leave behind? What are people going to say about you? Are they going to say wonderful things, or are they going to keep their mouth shut and go, well, you know? Because when I die, I want my tombstone to just say, he sure tried. Because that's really all we can do in life. We can try. But I also want to have it say on the bottom, but he ended well. He ended well. And I want my legacy for my son and for anyone that I have influence of is someone who would say, Rob was always there. He was always available. And he loved God. And he loved to serve. And so I hope that that is the same for you. The Bible says a great deal about death. The Apostle Paul wrote, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Martha lamented the death of her brother Lazarus, and Jesus said, your brother will rise again, for I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul dedicates 46 verses to the subject of life after death, the promise of our resurrection. All through Scripture, we see that those who believe in Christ, death is not the end of life. Our physical existence here on earth ends, but we live onward in Christ, with Christ, in heaven. Believe it or not, there is nothing in the Bible that talks about reincarnation. We do not return as a more enlightened person. We do not cease to exist after we die. We dwell either in heaven with God or the other place. But the life that we live behind on earth is not entirely extinguished either. All of us, whether we want to believe it or not, or accept it or not, all of us are going to leave behind a legacy. I think about the members of this church who were the ones who started this church, the ones who kept it going, the ones who continued to believe in the Spirit of God working in their lives and in this community. This congregation didn't start here, but it's been here for 92 years, 93 years. Yeah, yeah. So for 150 years, we carry on the legacy of those who first set foot in this church. Their legacy continues. What kind of legacy will you leave behind when you pass on and go to heaven? What is the message of your life? What are you dreaming for or living for today that you hope you can leave behind? Think about this for a moment. You are alive because God gave you the gift of life. He gave you a body, he gave you a soul, he gave you a spirit. He has equipped you with abilities and talents that you need in order to accomplish his purpose for your life. And believe me, you have a purpose. You being here today, you alive today, is no accident. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been or what you're still doing, God still has a purpose for your life. He has a very specific promise for you. The problem is that most people don't even begin to ask the question, what is God's personal will for my life? We have a tendency of thinking only of ourselves and what we desire, what we want. Scripture tells us clearly that God has a twofold purpose in mind for his children. And I put it in the sermon notes this morning. And the first one is that we would be involved in good works. We talked a little bit about that this morning in regard to those of us, those in the church who are going out of their way to interact with others in the community. God sees that. God sees it when you help out at the basement sale, or you help out with visiting people, or calling them up on a regular basis, or playing the guitar, or singing, or doing whatever, folding bulletins. He sees that. The second thing is that he wants us to bring him honor and glory. You see, when we serve God, it's not so that we can look out and hold our head up and say, look what I've done. Look at me. I'm busy. Whatever we do to glorify God and bring him honor. Paul said in Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one can boast. And I love that. It's one of my favorite pieces of scripture, because we like to boast about our successes. We like to boast about what we've accomplished. But what Paul is saying to us here is that everything that we do, it's not of us. It's not because of us. It's because of God working in us. So we really can't boast about something that it wasn't us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. One of God's purposes for us is that our lives are characterized by good works. 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy. He said, instruct them to do good works, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasures of good foundation. Of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. We carry out God's intentions by investing in the lives of the people around us, by investing in our church, by investing in our community in such a way that it honors and brings glory to God. Jesus said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works, not so you can hold up your hand and say, look at what I've done, but so that you glorify your Father who is in heaven. Unfortunately, there are people out there who often are more concerned about how long they live than how they live. They don't think so much about leaving a legacy, but their legacy is, look how long I've lived. Look at all I've accomplished. Look at everything I've done. But Scripture teaches us that God is more interested in what we do with the lives he has given us. And when I think about longevity and effectiveness, there's one man that comes to mind, and that's Oswald Chambers. Some of you may know Oswald Chambers. He wrote the best-selling devotional of all time, My Utmost for His Highest. And Oswald Chambers was a man whose life was devoted entirely to God. Some say he was the greatest Christian thinker of our time. He was born in 1874 in Scotland, where he became a Christian during his teen years under the ministry of Charles Spurgeon. And in his death in 1917, it left a tremendous void in the churches and the fellowships in which he served. And after his death, a fellow worker remarked, "It is a mighty thing to see even once in a lifetime a man, the self-expression of whose being is the redemption of Jesus Christ manifested in daily, hourly living." He would have simply called himself a believer in Jesus. Though he lived only for 42 years, Oswald Chambers' work lives on today even more powerfully than it did while he was alive. His writings offer refuge and strength to many, many who are downcast and discouraged. Through his words, God continues to change lives for Christ Jesus. Now, you may think this morning that comparing yourself to Oswald Chambers, you don't have much of a testimony. And you would be wrong. Everyone has a testimony. Good or bad, strong or weak, rich or poor, everybody has a testimony. You are building a legacy right now, today, and every day of your life. And when you die, you will leave a witness for either good or evil. So what are you leaving? What do you want people to remember about you? What do you want people to say about you? As you think about that this morning, you may have to take a really good look at your life. And you may, as I have had to do, realize that the bumps in all the stuff that's gone through in my life, I realize my legacy has, it sometimes falls short. Because I, like most of you, fall victim to discouragement and frustration and depression, because sometimes I feel like, what have I done? What have I accomplished? I know people in my life who have accomplished far more than I have, and I'm older than them. But I look at my life and I realize that what I have accomplished is what God has put in front of me. And so what I've accomplished is going to be different than from anyone else. So maybe today, as we think about our legacy, we can think about what we have accomplished through the power of God. Maybe we have come through struggles with finances or relationships or addictions or whatever it may be. Maybe we have found ourselves back on track after trying to live our own lives for many years. Maybe we're living a guilt of bad decisions and bad relationships. And maybe we're still hurting from past harms. What we need to do is allow our legacy to take hold in Christ, so that what we have experienced in life serves only as a reminder that we are human, that we have made mistakes, but that still doesn't make us unloved by God. So we need to love people the way God has loved us through all of that. As an illustration, I want to consider various people in the Bible that have left a legacy. I think of Abraham, I think of his great faith. I think of Moses, I think of the Ten Commandments, and I certainly think about a man who was telling God, "I'm not your man. I can't speak eloquently, I can't do what you're asking me to do," and yet he did it anyway. I think of David, the Psalms come to mind. I think of Solomon, and I think of the Proverbs. When I think of the Apostle Paul, I think about his letters and epistles and all of them which have given us great hope and guidance and encouragement. And maybe today you might be thinking about people in your own lives that have left an indelible mark on history and on you. I think of those who first came to America and settled in America, those who fought for our freedom. I think of those as leaders of our country who had a vision of what this country could be. I think of the hymn writers who gave us words and worship. I think of the impact of my parents and grandparents have had on my life, and certainly you can think about your own parents and grandparents, how they have affected your life positively. You have a legacy and you are living it right now. And it is for yours to live out so that others may see. The children that we have in this church, what are they going to do? Are they going to continue to be a part of this congregation as they get older? Or a congregation? What kind of life are they going to live? Because it's going to be based on how we live our lives and how we make decisions. The first thing I want us to look at this morning is living a legacy means knowing there is life after death. When people consider life after death, they most likely think about where they're going. Are they going to heaven? Those who do not believe in Christ contemplate what will become of them if they don't go to heaven. There are those who, despite living very short lives, are left leaving behind powerful, penetrating, life-changing influences. A believer is simply a person through whom Jesus Christ is still living his life. Our lives are an expression of who Christ is. And God has made several investments in each of our lives. He gave us the awesome gift of life. He gave us redemption through his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might live abundantly. He made it possible for us to understand our sinful condition through the amazing gift of faith. He made it possible for us to accept his forgiveness, even though it's hard for us to forgive ourselves, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so with its power we can perform good works and bring glory to his name. One of the most horrible things that I can think of in coming to the end of a life and looking back is looking back with regret, thinking, what difference have I made? What difference does your life make? What are your goals, your hopes, your dreams? God created you for the purpose that he wants to accomplish through your life. So I want you to consider these following questions. For those of you who are parents and grandparents this morning, maybe those of you who are uncles and aunts. Question one, will you leave your children a love for the Word of God? Will your children inherit a legacy of being a prayerful person? I know I wrote it differently, legacy of praising parents and praying parents and grandparents. Will your children remember you taking them to church? That's a big one. How have your children learned to spend their time and money? What is your influence in their lives? We also need to understand the legacy of our witness. One of the most important aspects of your legacy is your Christian witness. If you take the Great Commission and seriously and share the gospel with others and invest in missionary work, that legacy will be multiplied to countless people over a long period of time, long after we're gone. Likewise, the way you react to difficult times and difficult situations, times of suffering and pain and persecution, is part of what you leave the next generation. The children are not the only beneficiaries of your legacy. Think about this. How many of your friends have heard about Jesus? How many of your coworkers have heard about Jesus? How many of them have actually heard you talk about your relationship with Christ? How many of your neighbors hear you express what you believe about God's Word and how He has answered your prayers in the most awesome ways? Oftentimes, a person who is sitting nearby is hoping that someone will speak a word of encouragement. How many times have you missed those opportunities Whether you like it or not, you are leaving behind a legacy. It could be strong, it could be penetrating and motivating and life-changing, or it's going to be weak and wasted. So think about it this morning. If you never record God's involvement in your life, you are depriving your children, your grandchildren, those people closest to you, of a priceless treasure. Imagine them picking up a book full of true stories about how God provided for you, the principles He taught you, and the prayers that He answered. You cannot afford to soak up blessing after blessing and just ignore the great blessings of God's grace in your life. So we are called today as a church to live out our legacy. For you are a living legacy. You may not want to be, but you are. The question is, what will that legacy be? Long after we die, the examples of who we are live on. So live your legacy with a reflection of generosity, selflessness, compassion, love. Consider the ways that God is working in your life today. And how will you continue to work through your example of gifts when you are no longer here? I encourage you to be intentional, not just about your impact here and now. Believe me, you do have an impact, and you can have an impact. Not just about your impact here and now, but with regard to your influence for Jesus Christ throughout eternity. I just cannot say it enough that your legacy lives on. What you're doing today is going to be reflected in the lives of the people after you. And I see out there, I don't see anyone really smiling. Maybe I didn't tell a good joke this morning, I don't know, but I don't see too many people smiling. You're in the house of God. We sang beautiful songs about our love for Jesus. But we're just kind of sitting here thinking, yeah, what are you going to do when you leave here today? When you go out to lunch? What are you going to do tomorrow morning when you head back to work or wherever you're going? What is the legacy going to be then? At the back information table, I've put my business cards. There's about 25 out there, and if we need more, I'll be glad to get you more. But before you leave this morning, what I want you to do is I want you to take this business card, at least one of them, and I want you to give this card to somebody in your life that's not here today. A coworker, a friend, a neighbor. And I want you to tell them that you love them. Now, you may have had hard to do, because I know that some of us are just not that lovable. But I want you to let them know that you love them because God loves them. And that you want to see them come to know Jesus. And you tell them that they don't have to dress fancy. They don't have to fix their hair. I mean, God knows I spend probably 2 or 3 minutes on mine. Depends on what side of the bed, what side of my head I sleep on, what side. They don't have to be dressed up. They don't have to put makeup on. They don't have to put fancy shoes on. They can come as they are. And it doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter what they're doing. It doesn't matter because we love them because of who they are. They are God's children who He dearly loves. And we love them. And we want them here because we want them to be a part of this community of faith. And we want to help them. The only way that we can help them is if they're willing to come and be a part of this congregation. So I encourage you to do that. If we need more cards, just let me know. But I want us to live out a legacy. And I want people 10, 20 years from now to remember First Baptist Church of Astoria. I've met some people who have come through here this summer who said, I used to go here. Or, I come to this church every time we go through town. See, we're living out a legacy right now, whether we like it or not, or whether we know it or not. And my prayer for us is that that legacy, these pews are going to be filled. Children are going to be coming into this church. We're going to have to open the balcony. We're going to have to go to multiple services because of you. Not because of me or anything I've done, but because of you. So let's pray this morning that your legacy lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us a legacy. We thank you that you've taken us where we are. No matter what we've done or experienced, you love us, and you've given us a hope and a love for you. And I pray that each one of us, myself included, can take a good hard look at our lives, so that we can live the right legacy for those children and those people yet to come. For the people in our own families, the children that surround our lives, may they see Christ in us. That as they get older, they will continue to serve and love you, because we laid the foundation for them. For those people who are yet to walk through the doors of this church, I pray that we as a congregation will have a legacy that will lead the people here. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in the next week or month or year or so. But let us live out the legacy that you have for us right here, right now. And let our hearts be open to you. And I pray that people will take these cards and they will find somebody that they can give it to and talk to them about Christ and talk to them about coming and joining us for worship so that we can love on them and make them feel comfortable. And I pray this in your name and in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen.